because when my husband said what he was going to do when he came last time, I said, you can't do that. I've already made up my mind what I'm doing when I'm there, because I get prepared a lot sooner than him. And so he said, what do you mean? I said, no, I've had this Abraham and Isaac on my heart to share that. So he said, oh, all right, then I'll do the first three. You can do that one. So that was what that was about. But before we look at the Word of God this morning, I just want to share a testimony with you, not for me personally, but it's a really good testimony. And I don't know how many people, I think Margaret knows George Miller, who is an evangelist. Well, he's retired now as well, but he still goes out doing that kind of thing. And he was an itinerant evangelist with our denomination for years. And he saw so many miracles and so many people saved and great things happening in God. And over the last year, he's been really poorly and been more to do with his mind than anything else. And he's got ill, got better, got ill, got better, got ill, and now he's on the up again, but he's like almost over the top again. But anyway, we were with him a few weeks ago and he told us this amazing testimony. And he heard about this man in the area where he lived who wasn't a Christian and who had been diagnosed with a brain tumour and a tumour in the lungs. And he really felt he should go and share God with this man and his wife and pray for him. So he took a DVD, it's not even a new one, it's quite an old DVD, of the life of Jesus, but it actually starts at Abraham. So he took this DVD to this man and sat and watched it with him. Then he led the man to the Lord because he was ready to do that. And his wife came in the middle of it, and she wanted to see this. So George said, well, I'll leave it with you and then you can just watch it together after I've gone, because we can't start at the beginning again now. So before he left, he said to the man, I'd like to pray for you about your health. He said, I can't say God's going to heal you because he hasn't told me that, but I'd like to pray for you anyway. So he prayed for him and he never heard anything else for a few weeks. And he went to the church he goes to and he met the son-in-law of this man. And he just casually said, how's your father-in-law? And he said, well, haven't you heard? So he thought, oh no, he's died. But he hadn't. And this man had gone to the doctor without anybody encouraging him or knowing that that's what he ought to do. And he asks for some more tests, because he was feeling a lot better and he was following the Lord now, and he thought, well, I'm going to ask the doctor to do some tests. So the doctor did do some more tests, and these tumours were malignant. And when they did the further tests and scans, both of these tumours were benign. And the one in the brain is now operable, so they're going to do that. His wife got saved after watching that DVD, and so they're both going on with God. But the amazing thing was, George was then praying for a minister. Now, this is how it goes sometimes. He was praying for a minister with cancer who actually died 2 weeks ago. But he was praying for him, and in the room was a friend of this man from Ireland, and he was a GP, a Christian. So George said to him, can you tell me how a brain tumour and a tumour in the lungs that were both malignant can become benign? He said, they can't. It's a miracle. I thought that was an amazing testimony for that man who'd, you know, really thought his time was at an end, and then he found God and these tumours have become benign. So George was just so excited that a Christian GP could verify that there's no way that ever happens. It was a miracle. So I just thought I'd share that with you to encourage you that God is still in the business of doing lots of stuff and wanting us to believe for greater things too. Right, I'm going to read you the story of Abraham that is so familiar, but just reading the story itself usually does things for people. So we're going to read the first 19 verses of Genesis chapter 22. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. "Abraham," God called. "Yes," he replied, "here I am." "Take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will show you." The next morning, Abraham got up early. He saddled his donkey and took two of his servants with him, along with his son Isaac. Then he chopped wood for a fire for a burnt offering and set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day of their journey, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. "Stay here with the donkey," Abraham told the servants. "The boy and I will travel a little farther. We will worship there, and then we will come right back." So Abraham placed the wood for the burnt offering on Isaac's shoulders, while he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them walked on together, Isaac turned to Abraham and said, "Father?" "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "We have the fire and the wood," the boy said, "but where is the sheep for the burnt offering?" "God will provide a sheep for the burnt offering, my son," Abraham answered. And they both walked on together. When they arrived at the place where God had told him to go, Abraham built an altar and arranged the wood on it. Then he tied his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And Abraham picked up the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. At that moment, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham!" "Yes," Abraham replied, "here I am." "Don't lay a hand on the boy," the angel said. "Do not hurt him in any way, for now I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld from me even your son, your only son." Then Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught by its horns in a thicket. So he took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering in place of his son. Abraham named the place Yahweh Yireh, which means "the Lord will provide." To this day, people still use that name as a proverb. On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called again to Abraham from heaven. "This is what the Lord says. Because you have obeyed me and have not withheld even your son, your only son, I swear by my own name that I will certainly bless you. I will multiply your descendants beyond number, like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will conquer the cities of their enemies, and through your descendants all the nations of the earth will be blessed, all because you have obeyed me." Then they returned to the servants and travelled back to Beersheba, where Abraham continued to live. I find that story so amazing. It doesn't matter how many times I read it, it gets to me. And I always want to wonder, where was the mother in all of this? Where was the mother? Because if you read that story, can you honestly see a mother allowing that to happen? Especially when Sarah had waited so long for a child. And I don't know whether she knew anything about this, because we're not told. And Abraham got up early, so maybe he did it without mentioning anything to her. And of course, she tried to interfere in previous occasions, hadn't she? And it became a mess. So I don't know. We can only surmise about what happened there. But the truth was that Abraham trusted God even when he didn't understand. And he obeyed even when to do so seemed to contradict the promise that God had given to him. And I just wonder this morning whether those two things, they're very simple things in many ways, but in other ways they're hard to put into practice. Can you and I trust even when we don't understand? And can we obey even when to do so would seem to contradict what God might have shared with us? And they're tough questions to answer. But when we look at the life of Abraham, who was before Jesus Christ, who didn't have the Holy Spirit as we have it, he could trust and obey. We used to sing a little chorus when I was a little girl, "Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey." And we might look back on that now as just a bit of nostalgia and think, oh, it's a silly little song. But the truth is still there. God is looking for us to trust him in every situation we find ourselves and to obey what he says into our lives. And when we see Abraham getting ready to sacrifice, to be willing to make that sacrifice. Now, did he believe right at the beginning that God would provide another sacrifice? We don't know, do we? He was very confident when he said to the servants, "We'll go on further and worship and we will come back to you." Now, did he believe that because he knew that God would be so faithful and provide something? Or did he do that in faith, trusting that that's what would happen? We don't know, because Abraham didn't know the end of the story, did he? Like you and I do. We can read that story and it might move us and it might challenge us, but we know the end of the story. But Abraham didn't know the end of the story when God asked him to sacrifice his only son. And why would God do that when he had promised him this son? This son would be the one of promise. Well, I believe that the reason may be, I can only surmise, that God asked him to do that is because God will always test us on our most precious possession to show us where our treasure really is. And Jesus told us to store up treasure in heaven, didn't he? And many people store up treasure on earth and think they're going to be here forever to enjoy it. But Jesus told parable about that as well, that a man did that and built bigger barns to put his stuff in. I believe God's looking for us in this day to make sure that our treasure is in heaven. Because the way our world is going, the way things are happening very quickly in our world, and Jesus is coming back very soon. I'm confident of that. And okay, we've been saying that for a few hundred years, maybe more, but it's getting closer. And we need to make sure that our treasure is in heaven. We were having a conversation just this last week with some friends who've moved to Yorkshire, and we were visiting them. And they were just sharing something about someone who'd been very faithful in God's work. And they really had been almost pleading with God to bless this couple so much because of what they'd done for God in the past. And she said, "I've had many conversations with God about this because it doesn't seem to have happened." So I said, "Oh, that's interesting, because I've had many conversations about that in our situation too." And I said, "The only answer I ever get is that God says, I'm preparing a place for you." And that should give us great comfort, actually, because Jesus did remind us not to lay up treasure in this world where will just be corrupted and it will rust, come to nothing, but to make sure our treasure is in heaven. And he is preparing a place. And he prepared something for Abraham when he set out that day. It was already in God's mind what he was going to do. God knew. God was in control. And I'm sure because of Abraham's walk with God, if he didn't know anything else, he did know that God was in control. And that God wouldn't ask him to do something that seemed to totally eradicate what he'd promised if he didn't have something greater in mind. And I can remember many years ago when we were in ministry in the Midlands, and we had a couple in the church, and he was very, very sick with cancer. And they couldn't seem to get to the bottom of this. And the wife was totally distraught. This lady had a terrible life from her father. And I'm not going to go into her details apart from to say one thing, that her father put her in a sack and put her on the railway line for her to be killed when the next train came along. That was just one thing. And she was a very insecure lady. She'd had lots of prayer, lots of help, but she was very insecure. And the last person she was willing to let go of was her husband. And she just needed him. He was her rock. He was her security. And he was her second husband. He wasn't the husband of her two boys, but of her little girl. And she wasn't willing to let him go. And this was back in the 80s. And I can remember praying about this situation because it was becoming very difficult. And she was almost emotionally blackmailing him all the time. And he was in a real hard place with his illness. And I can remember praying, and this is the only time this ever happened to me since I've been a Christian, donkey's years. So it's not something that happens all the time, and it's not something I advise other people to do unless God's really told you. But, and I didn't do it straight away either. But God told me to ring her up and pray for her over the phone and her husband, and then say to her, God says, are you willing to let him go? Because he obviously is your precious possession, and God wants that place. And I thought, God, I can't tell her that. She's got her husband who could be dying any time. She's in a terrible state. You know what she's lived through, and I can't do that. So I kept praying. But, you know, sometimes you keep praying about something and God's already given you the answer, but you don't want to do that, do you? Or you think that can't be right. So in the end, and she was quite a difficult lady, I have to say. So she could give me a hard time if I've not got this right. So anyway, I rang her up. And very gently told her that I wanted to pray for her and her husband over the phone. And God wanted to know if she was willing, just as Abraham had been willing to sacrifice his son if necessary, would she be willing to sacrifice her husband? And that was hard. And I waited. I thought, what's she going to say to me? And she said, thank you. Okay. Thank you. That's all I want to say right now. Thank you. So got off the phone. And in her way, that lady tried to do that. And do you know that man is still alive today? He's in his 80s. She died last year, actually. So that was just amazing. But that's the only time. But I couldn't get away from it. I knew I'd got to do it, but I didn't want to do it. Because I thought, what would I feel like if someone did that to me? How would I react? How would I cope? What would I say? But thankfully for the work that God had already done in her heart, she was obviously in a place where she could receive that and was willing to do that. And she still went through hard times. They found her son in his early 30s, dead in his flat. And her daughter lost a baby. And it was just, they seemed to have very difficult lives together. But thankfully, in their later and older years, God really helped them and blessed them. But sometimes we're not willing to let go of what is most precious to us. And sometimes I think we don't even know what is most precious to us until it comes to losing it or nearly losing it. And sometimes we think we're really serving God, we're really doing what God wants, we're being faithful, we're doing all that God has asked of us, and then suddenly something happens in our lives and we feel very insecure and we wonder, is our treasure really in heaven? But Abraham, when I look at his life, I can see that his treasure really was in God, even though he was before the cross and didn't, as I say, have all that we had and have. But he went with his son, and I always wish I was a fly on the wall. Because don't you wonder what they talked about as they walked along? I mean, we only have that one instance where his son asked him, where's the sheep for the burnt offering? But they must have talked. I'm sure they didn't. It was a 3-day journey. I'm sure they didn't walk in silence. They would have had to have slept some of the time. They would have had to have eaten. And I wonder if Abraham sought to impart some of his own life with God to his son. Maybe he'd already done that in lots of ways. But I'm sure it was an opportunity also for Abraham to make sure his son knew that he really loved him. Because if he's going to kill him, the son's not going to think that his dad's going to love him, is he? But I don't know. I just wonder what the conversation would have been about. But I like to think that it would have been about real issues with God as father. And teaching even his son that sense of trust and obedience and talking to him about his life. Maybe he had already shared, but maybe he shared with him how Isaac came about, because they were old, weren't they? And it was a miracle. And maybe he shared other things with Isaac, how he saw his life panning out. But we know that when it came to it, he tied his son up and put him on the sacrifice. Now, Abraham was an old man, and you think that Isaac perhaps could have overpowered him. So Isaac may have gone very willingly, knowing still that his dad would, something would happen because of the faith that his dad had shared with him. And it's at that very crucial moment, isn't it? He raises the knife to actually slay him, that the angel steps in. And I want to say to you this morning, sometimes it's in our darkest hour when we really feel we cannot take any more that the voice comes or something comes from God to speak into our situation. Maybe another Christian God uses. Maybe something from Scripture as we're reading it. Maybe something as we're praying and letting the Holy Spirit minister into our lives. And something comes and it changes everything, doesn't it? Absolutely changes everything. And we feel differently, we think differently, and we rise up again and become the people that we should be. But it's still down to trust and obedience. And I can remember many, many years ago, right back to the early 70s, when my dad was very ill, because my dad died at 44 years old. And when he was very ill, and I can remember saying to God, if you take my dad, that's the end of my faith. Now, I didn't say that as a threat, because you can't threaten God anyway. But that's what I really believed, because my dad had been such an influence in my early life, especially as a young Christian. And in the way he'd shared things with me when we used to cycle to the prayer meeting in the week, because we didn't have a car. And I used to ask him loads of questions, and he used to share his faith with me, and I used to see how he was. And I think that is amazing. I really want to be like my dad. And then he died. And at that point, I had a choice, didn't I? Because I'd said to God, if you take my dad, that's the end of my faith. I was in Bible college at that time with Mick. And that very week after my dad had died, we had to do an essay on healing. How kind is that? So I trot along to the principal thinking, he'll let me off this. And said to him, do I really have to do this? And he said, yes, I'm afraid you do. It's part of your course. And I thought, well, how cruel is that? So I came home and I spent some time at home with my mum while Mick went back to college. So I thought, Lord, you've got to help me with this. I believe you're the healer. I was healed as a child. I should have died. I was healed. I don't have a problem with that. But you took my dad when I thought that would be the end of my faith. And I did my essay. It was only an essay, but I did that and I got really good marks. So I put that down to God, because it certainly wasn't me. But the amazing thing was, as I did that study on healing, my faith actually got stronger. And I thought, God, I'm still going to believe that you heal people. I'm still going to believe that you are the one that does miracles. Just because my dad is gone doesn't make you any different. And my faith actually grew stronger, and especially in God as my father, because I'd lost my father. And sometimes we try and find other fathers. I don't know whether you've done that, but I did. I thought, well, I need someone that I can see as a father figure in my life. And it was like God wouldn't let me have one, because he wanted that place. And as he nurtured me and I nurtured that relationship, I didn't need anybody else to be a father figure in my life, because I'd got God. And that was all I needed, because he was a true father. And I came into a much better relationship with him through that experience. But I wouldn't want to have to go through those kind of things again. But sometimes we do, don't we? To bring us to the place where we really trust God and we really know that he is our only hope and he is the only one that will really, at the end of the day, stand by us. And I'm just so grateful because lots of times I've got great friends, lots of friends who I can share my life with. And I've got one friend that she knows everything there is to know about me and I know everything there is to know about her. And she lives in the Midlands. And I said to Mick this week, I'm just going to ring Rita. And he said, well, that'll be an hour. I said, at least. She's been on holiday. I've been on holiday. but it was only an hour. But sometimes we have those kind of relationships where we just really want to share with people. But at the end of the day, sometimes those people aren't available. I might ring her up and there's no answer at the other end of the phone. They're not there. But I don't have that problem with God as my Father. He's always there. And he'll always be there in every situation. And he might bring me into some challenging things, just as he did with Abraham. And I'm sure you could say the same. But he's looking for you and I to really trust him in every situation that we find ourselves in and to obey what he says to us. It's hard sometimes. It's difficult. And we don't particularly want to obey that voice because of what that voice is saying to us. And we'd planned it a different way. But the only way we get real peace about a situation is to trust God and to obey him. And can you imagine the journey back with Abraham and Isaac? Well, I reckon they danced all the way back. I bet those 3 days were like one day. Because Abraham must have been so thrilled at what happened. And maybe he had lots more sharing to do with Isaac on that way home. But what about Mum back home? Because she must have, even if she didn't know much, he must have said something to her because she'd wonder where they'd gone. And she may be looking out all the time and she sees the two of them. And she's just so thrilled because she had interfered in the past and she'd got things wrong. But now, like, she'd got her son back. And I find in that story, I know it's a parallel of Jesus Christ giving his life for us. And God didn't find someone else. It had to be him. But for Isaac and Abraham, that is one of the most amazing stories. But because of his obedience, we read in those last few verses of the reading that God was really going to bless him. And you and I are blessed today because of his obedience, because it said there, all the nations of the earth will be blessed because of what you did today, because of what you were willing to do. And so we are blessed because of Abraham. And we can sing the kids' song, I'm one of Abraham's children, Father Abraham. And it's exciting to see how God uses people through scripture. And because Abraham was one of my favorites, I suppose, him and Moses, I just love them pair. Because of what they went through with God and because of the experiences God allowed them to share with him. And I'm all up for that. Whatever experiences God wants to share with me, I am up for some of that. And I'm sure you are too. But it still comes out of a deep trust in God and an obedience. Now, last weekend, just to share with you an illustration, we went on a steam train holiday. This was my blessing for reaching the age of 70 in January. So I didn't want to go abroad. I didn't want to do anything like that. I wanted a steam train holiday because I was brought up in the age of steam trains and I just love them. And so we went to Yorkshire, went to Harrogate, and then we travelled out on two different steam trains in the 3 days we were there. And it was amazing, absolutely amazing. I just sat there like a child, really. Looking out the window, watching it go round the corner, round the bends, and all the steam coming back and the whistle blowing. Well, I found it really exciting. You might not have done, but I found it really exciting. But we had some amazing conversations because there were 42 people on our trip. And of course, you get to sit with different people on the train and on the coach and at the restaurant and different things. And we had some amazing conversations. We didn't lead anybody to Christ and we didn't perform any miracles, but we had some amazing conversations. And it just amazed me that when people started to ask what Mick did before he retired, and he said most of the time, "You don't want to know." And so they said, "No, what did you do?" So he said, "Well, I was a policeman for a few years." I said, "Oh, for goodness sake." So then he told them what he did. And it's funny, you know, because people suddenly change, don't they, for the better or the worse. And this one man said, "Oh," he said, church wasn't a high priority in my life and Christianity when I was growing up. I have to say that. But he said, "Now I'm getting older, I do think about it more." And I thought, wow, that's amazing. You know, just the way things are. And we did have some really good conversations with people. But it was funny to watch how they slightly changed their stance or their conversation when they knew they'd got a retired minister in the room. Really quite funny. But we had a great time, and we went and saw the Flying Scotsman. We refused to pay the £8 each to walk through the carriages. What a rip-off. But we did see and had our photo, or I had my photo taken by the side of it, because we went to the Railway Museum and it's there at the moment. But it was exciting, you see, because it reminded me of happy times in my childhood and things that I'd experienced. And I think God, when I was thinking about it when I was on holiday, I was thinking, God, you want to remind us of things that you've done in our lives over the years and the way that you've brought us through things that we've almost forgotten about. And we need to remind ourselves of the goodness of God. We've talked about that, shared about that this morning already before I got up. And we need to remind ourselves, because we can get so bogged down with what's happening right now, not just in our lives, but in the world. And when I put the news on, it's just such a sad world we live in now. That's another reason that I believe we're really in the end times. But it can be so sad, and it can affect us without us realizing it. There can be a negative thing that starts to come into our lives. And God does want to remind us of all the things he's done in our lives. And I remember going to a conference years ago, and there were some quite household names at the time speaking, because of what was happening. It was in the late 90s. And one man spoke on the patriarchs, and he started with Abraham, Moses, and was going through them. And he had this huge stick, and he showed how they used to put notches and symbols on these things as they went through experiences with God. And I thought, we can't do that today. You carry this great big stick about and do that. So do you know what I did? I went out and bought myself a nice journal, and I put on the front gratitude journal. And I started to keep a record of the things that God was doing in my life that I was very grateful for. And occasionally there were things that God was doing in my life that I wasn't so grateful for, but they were necessary. So I changed the title to Gratitude Journal and Necessary Things, because I realized that God was wanting to do things in my life. And I was grateful that he still wanted to do that. Because sometimes, let's be honest, when you're getting older, nobody's here probably as old as me, but when you're getting older, sometimes you don't feel that you're needed. I'm not a great person that needs to be needed, actually. I'm quite happy doing other things. But sometimes you just feel that it's all about younger people. And I'm the first to be encouraging young people to really go for it for God, because I get fed up with seeing them into so much technology that they haven't got time to think about God. So I do encourage them to really go for it where God is concerned and see what he'll do in their lives. But sometimes you can feel, okay, I can remember saying something when it was coming up to my 70th, and I've repented of it since. You'll be glad to know, before someone tells me off. But when I was coming up to my 70th, I kept saying, well, that's my 3 score years and 10. Anything else is a bonus. And after I'd got to 70, I thought, God, that is such a wrong thing to say. because only you know how many days I've got, and you know what you still want to do in my life, and I'm up for that, because I want to be at the best I can be when my time comes. So I've stopped saying that now, and if I hear anybody else saying it, because I did hear people saying it, that's why I started saying it. I tell them off now, because God hasn't finished with us, has he? And we never know what he's got in store for us. But we've got to trust him and obey him. And if I don't get anything else over to you this morning, those two words, I want to stick them all over you. Because if we trust God, we're in a really safe place. Because whatever might happen, and life doesn't always go according to plan, things happen, bad things happen to good people. And things happen. But if we're trusting God, we're in the safest place we can be, because he's got us in his hands. His arms are around us. He's our security. So in a sense, it doesn't matter what might happen. In another way, it does matter. Obviously, I'm not saying that in an uncaring way. But God is the one that will always be there for us. He's our Father. And he really cares about us. He's a good Father. You can't compare him to an earthly father, because he's beyond that. And he's the best that he can be. He doesn't have to improve. He doesn't have to get things right. He's already done that. And he wants you to know that you can totally trust him. And trust is a hard issue for people, isn't it? If people haven't had great upbringings, trust can be a really difficult thing, even with other people, never mind God, who they can't see. But the important thing is that we learn to trust, because love does trust. And God wants us to trust him, because he loves us to bits. And he has no favourites. That's good, isn't it? Because sometimes you can see what other people are doing and how they're being used and blessed, and you think, wow. But I always remind myself, I'm a unique creation. And God loves me for who I am. And he wants to do things in my life, just as he does in those. And mine might be more insignificant, or they might not. But it's still really important what God is, because it's about my relationship with him. That's what will matter when I stand before him, my relationship with him. So we need to learn to trust. But we've got to be obedient. We've got to be obedient. Some of us are quicker to obey the negative voices we hear than the positive one from God. And that needs to change. We need to obey him. I look at some Christians, I've got some great friends and friends that have really gone on in God, and watched people over the years that I've kept in relationship with in the different churches we've been in. And they're great. It just does me good to see them. But some of them are so obedient. I've watched them. And however hard it has been, they've been quick to obey. And sometimes God shares things with us when we're in fellowship with him and with one another like we are today. And I'm so glad that some of you this morning shared in. That you didn't, well, maybe you did sit there and think, shall I share it? Shall I share it? No. But I think you're in a place where you do share, and that's great. But sometimes, I'll speak for myself, sometimes we can be in a situation and we think, no, I'm not sharing that. I don't know how that'll be received. I don't know whether I've got that right. But other times I do share. And I've got a dear friend who, she, bless her, she shares anyway, often with me. But she's pretty vague when she shares. And I say, can't you be a bit more specific? Well, no, that's how God gave it to me. I said, well, I think maybe you should ask God to give you a bit more about it, because it's a bit vague. I'm not sure what you're saying, and you're not sure what you're saying. And I believe God doesn't want us to be confused. He does want us to understand. And he made it very clear to Abraham, didn't he? He didn't say, go off and in a couple of days I'll tell you what I want you to do. Take your son with you and you'll find out. He was very clear right from the beginning. He made it very clear. And I believe most of the time God does make it very clear. It's us that are a bit, I won't say thick, but you know what I'm saying. We don't always hear what he's saying into our lives. So God wants us to trust him. So my question to you today is, are you ready to trust when you don't understand what God's doing in your life? And are you willing to obey him, or only bits that please your flesh? Is God testing you? Because right at the beginning of that reading, it said that God tested Abraham and called to him. And we often blame the enemy of our souls, don't we, for testing us or tempting us, or it's the enemy again. But sometimes God is testing us just to see where our loyalties lie, if we really trust him and if we're willing to obey him. Because God always wants first place in our lives, always. That's his desire. And it's not, someone said to me once, well, your God's a bit selfish, isn't he? You're saying he always wants first place in your life. But when we get to know God, we understand, don't we? It makes more sense to us. And we know that we'll be really in the best place when we obey him and when we trust him. So I just leave that story with you this morning. As you read it, I challenge you to read it again. And even read it out loud. Because when you read things out loud, they often affect you more. Just as it did when I read it out here out loud, it was affecting me. And sometimes it's easy to read something just to yourself when you read, and it doesn't. But if you read, I read the scriptures out loud a lot because I find that it affects me more emotionally. I'm more in touch with God then about what he's saying into my life. And sometimes I completely break down and think, oh no, now I'm a mess. But God is perhaps showing me something that I needed to see. And needed to hear. And because I was saying it out loud, it made a lot more sense to me. My husband and I are the opposite way around. He reads the scripture quiet just to himself and prays out loud when he's having his devotion. I do it the other way around. I read the scriptures out loud and then I pray in my heart. So we're all different and different things work for us that don't work for other people. So it's finding that place where you really hear God. And I find if I read the scriptures out loud, I hear what God's saying to me a lot more clearly and find it much more helpful. So God wants first place in your life today. Whatever that might mean, only you know what that might mean. But he wants you to trust him, to know that he truly is your father, just as we were singing earlier on. And he has good plans for you. And he wants your obedience, because then you're in a total place of safety with trust and obedience. So I just leave that with you this morning. I'd just like to pray for us as I finish. Father, we thank you for having the word of God in our hands. We thank you that we have these people from years ago who knew you as well, and their examples of their lives, how they lived their journey with you. And Father, I thank you for the story of Abraham and Isaac this morning. We can't enter in fully into all that that meant for that family. But Father, we thank you that you redeemed the situation because you were looking to have first place in Abraham's life and you knew you had it. And Father, if you're asking things of us today, I pray that you will help us to be willing to give you what you ask of us, whether it's our trust, our obedience, or whether it's something else, whether it's a person we need to give to you so that we're not possessing that person, whether it's even a possession that we have in life that we feel is so important and we can't be without it. Father, will you help us today that we might give you that first place in our lives and be in a position where we really hear you and know what you're asking us to do, and then to be obedient to do it. Father, we're nothing without you, but we thank you that with you we can do anything because we have your Holy Spirit at work in our lives, and we can be faithful servants this morning that we'll have no need to fear when we stand before you because we have done what you asked. Father, will you help us that we might live good lives, righteous lives, seeking to trust and obey you in every situation that we find ourselves in, whatever that may cost for us. Father, we just thank you and bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.